Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Now that we have returned to in-person worship, you won't see Pastor Leanne on the fourth or fifth Sundays of each month. While she is working those weeks, her time will be spent not on writing sermons, but in visiting parishioners, attending council meetings, and everything in between. This week holds a number of special days. First off, it is Vivian's 92nd birthday tomorrow. Cards can be left for her at the back of church. Cards can be left for her at the back of church in the basket provided. We thank God for her amazing spirit, her outlook on life, and her and Donna's presence in our congregation. Happy birthday, Vivian. I don't think the pastor said anything about clapping hands. Well, I think we should. You are most welcome. Another date, September 28th, marks the 153rd anniversary of the first British home children to arrive in Canada. You'll remember that we marked the 150th anniversary back in 2018 with a special service honoring all of these children who were surrendered by their parents to intake homes in England with the promise of new lives in Canada. Several of these children came to Wilmot Township as farm laborers and house servants. When they turned 18, they were free to make their own way in life. My grandparents adopted one such boy, Cyril Barr, who then went to Phillipsburg Public School down the road, attended Sunday school, and was later confirmed here in this very church. Unfortunately, this child migration scheme didn't always measure up to its promises. While Cyril made a good life for himself in Canada, other children's lives were made even more miserable than what they had experienced back in the British Isles. Some were forced to sleep in barns, eat scraps, and often tried to run away. There was also much abuse and mistreatment. And so today, to remember those children, our hymns carry a distinct British theme to honor their memories and their service to this country. And so we remember them today. Also, September 30th is Orange Shirt Day, another opportunity to remember children who were abused and mistreated and died in residential schools. This day opens discussion on the residential school experience and encourages us to witness and honor the healing journey of the survivors and their families and continue the ongoing process of reconciliation. There will be a number of events taking place that day, including a service at noon from the Eastern Synod office in Kitchener and a vigil at Trinity, New Hamburg at 8. More will be shared on our church website and our Facebook page this week. Are there any other announcements, any other celebrations to share? If not, please turn to your bulletin and the inserted page where we will read together the litany for National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. And in the spirit of re-educating ourselves on what happened to our residential people, there is a whole introduction on the other side of the litany, and that is your homework today. Take it home, read it, and understand, help to understand what really happened at residential schools. So let us quiet our hearts and minds and prepare for worship. In gratitude to God who healed our broken relationship, reconciliation through Jesus Christ, we receive a call to the ministry of reconciliation as a paradigm for healing broken relationships.
Today we acknowledge
a dark side to the history of Canada. We settler peoples have reaped the benefits of the land by pushing aside Indigenous people in order to seize their land.
Today we lament
the attempted erasure of Indigenous peoples by Canada through the Indian Act, which criminalized the practice of traditions and cultures and mandated the seizure and indoctrination of children in residential schools.
Today we acknowledge
we have no appropriate words, so we stand respectfully in silent lament. For the children who died while in custody of residential schools, died of active abuse, died of lonely hearts, and separation from family. Today we acknowledge we have no appropriate words, so we stand in silent respect. For the families and communities who mourn their children who did not come home from residential schools, mourn the disruption of family and way of life, mourn the exploitation and desecration of their traditional lands. In gratitude to God, who demonstrated the way of reconciliation with us, we commit to walking together in a new way, acknowledging the true history and place of Indigenous peoples on this land, living with respect, listening, and learning as we move forward on the path of true reconciliation. We will now hear Trevor play hymn number 765, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Please follow along in your hymn book. Mouth the words, you can hum. Wish we could sing these hymns this week because they are so powerful. But this one was meant for those in peril on the sea and was sung by British home children before they boarded the ships, taking them to new, uncertain futures. Please remain seated. With you. Give us a share of your spirit, and in all we do, empower us to bear the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our first reading for today is from Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 to 6. 10 to 16, and 24 to 29. What constitutes legitimate need and legitimate leadership is the focus of this reading. God provides manna in the wilderness, yet the people crave meat. truly needful. God bestows the Spirit on 70 elders, yet two men, not designated as leaders, prophesy in the power of God's Spirit. What constitutes real leadership? The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances at their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive this people? Did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a sucking child,' to the land that you promised an oath to their ancestors? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they come weeping to me and they say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 elders of people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. So they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My Lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14. "The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eyes. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold. Sweeter far than honey in comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Our second reading comes from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. Marks of the Christian community include praying for those who are sick and in need, celebrating with those in good health, restoring those who have strayed, confessing sins to one another, and offering forgiveness to each other. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with the oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel reading. Today's gospel comes from Mark 9, verses 38 through 50.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for one who does a deed of power in my name will soon be able afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God the Father Almighty. Let's be honest with each other. The pandemic has weighed heavily on our minds, our hearts, our health, and our outlook on life. It's been an experience like no other. It's taken a toll like no other in our lives. And it's given us more wrinkles, more worries, and left some of us questioning our faith and the importance of hope when it feels like there is nothing to be had. For the past 18 months, we have lived in fear of contracting a deadly virus. It's changed everything, but especially the way we work, shop, play, and connect. That's why this morning's sermon is entitled God Moments in a Pandemic. It's time for us to be reminded of the good that has come out of all of this. I like to call them God moments, experiences that bring us closer to God and bring God closer to us. I've also heard them described as thin spaces, where the space between God and us on earth is literally thin. Thin spaces are where the veil of this world, are the veil between this world and the eternal world. Truth lives large in these thin places or spaces, where naked, raw, and hard to face truths are revealed. Sometimes they present themselves and it is up to us to respond. And if we do, the experience is cemented in our hearts. It stops us in our tracks, makes us think, forces us to remember what is really important. In some ways, it's the closest we can get to God here on earth. It's where we can actually feel his presence and listen to his voice, softly but steadily inviting us to step out of our comfort zones to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Some might call it the Holy Spirit at work. Whatever the description, God moments are magical, I believe, and heaven sent. When my mother Esther spent 5+ weeks in hospital this summer, I made a point of thanking every staff member I met during visits there, whether they were doctors, nurses, meal deliverers, or cleaning staff, for their service during these trying times. One of those amazing people was a middle-aged PSW helping feed patients who couldn't manage on their own. She was polite and patient, considerate and funny at times as she encouraged just another bite while sharing a moment of her life outside hospital walls, how she was working in her flower beds and the birds that came to her bird feeder. She brought life to the lunchroom where many were struggling with various health issues. One day during our conversation, she mentioned that many patients come to the hospital, obviously in emergency settings, without shampoo or body wash. And so when it goes on sale at Costco, she said to me that she buys what she can afford and brings it into work so that some patients can enjoy a nice, soothing bath or a scented hair wash, just like they would enjoy at home, just like what we take for granted. For some reason, that comment stuck with me the whole 3 weeks Mom was at Freeport Hospital. It was so hard trying to see the light during those dark days, to stop myself from worrying about Mom's progress or the lack of it, to remember to book visiting appointments every other day because that's what I was only allowed to do, to even sleep through the night. Stressed out doesn't begin to describe how I felt. So as Mom's health progressed and she waited for a long-term care bed back at NIFU, I looked to make the most of that situation. First of all, I brought in a Project Red blanket for her appreciative roommate, Penny, who was struggling with a bad fall. She'd gone to the bathroom and turned and broke her leg. So brittle were her bones. She was so happy to receive it. Another time, at lunch, we heard German being spoken, and befriended a wonderful lady caring for her ailing ex-husband. Get that, ailing ex-husband. We gave him a blanket too. Mom enjoyed speaking German to her. And so on her last day at Freeport, Mom helped me deliver a bag full of body wash and shampoos for men and women in hospital, along with 14 more Project Red blankets for patients to brighten their hospital beds or cover their laps while in wheelchairs. The staff were extremely thankful. That worker's words in a casual conversation inspired me to act. I heard the call, and in thankfulness for all the care my mom received, I responded. You could call it a pay it forward moment. That's very popular these days. Somebody buys you your coffee in the Tim Hortons line up ahead of you, whatever. But for me, that was a God moment, a thin space. When a fire at the former Waterloo Inn left a large group of already homeless men without shelter and clothing earlier this winter, back in the winter, our church was among several that collected toiletries and various pieces of clothing, coats, pants, shirts, and even pajamas to donate to them. My husband Terry volunteered to take the carload to the House of Friendship's Charles Street drop-off location because he knew where to go, having dropped off 80-plus cards of encouragement to those same men back in the winter. When he arrived there, a middle-aged woman pushing a walker approached him. She was wearing shorts and a light shirt. And if you can remember back to July, this was that same cold morning when the temperature dropped significantly overnight to like 10 degrees. It was very cold. "Do you have any coats by chance?" she asked him. The House of Friendship staff member already standing there kindly remarked that unfortunately these are all men's clothes. Terry responded, "Well, there's a jacket here that you are welcome to try on," handing the woman the one on the very top of the box. Could have been any one of those coats that you donated. It was a bit too big for her when she tried it on, but she was very happy to have it. "Wish I would have had this coat last night," she said, referring to the previous night's cold. She then asked my husband, "You wouldn't have a bottle of water, would you?" Now, Terry always travels with a bottle of water, and so he quickly reached into the car and handed her one. "Oh, thank you," she said. "And it's even cold, too," she added, thanking him again for what she'd received. I still remember how happy Terry was to share this story, how moved he was when he came home. Our donations didn't even make it inside a building before someone who was in need benefited from it. Her timing in passing by, Terry's timing in doing the drop-off, it all fell into place so perfectly. You could call it coincidental, but I call that a God moment, thin space. A few weeks later, I was heading to St. John's Soup Kitchen to drop off the mugs that you collect and the plastic containers that you all leave here in our drop bin box. When I pulled up, the area I usually drop off in was partitioned off with pylons. I think they were giving out food or clothing that day. Hoping to get closer to the building with all the boxes that I had, I inched my car into the area. I didn't get very far though, because a young woman with red lipstick up to here rushed to the side of my car, swearing one blue streak of obscenities. And I mean blue. I quickly decided to stay put and call a staff member to help. That's when I noticed another older woman, also homeless, sitting on the curb. When I began unloading the boxes, when the staff member came out, she came over to me and said, "That one's crazy, but don't worry. If she would have touched you, I would have stopped her. I was watching out for you the whole time." Just imagine. A homeless person was watching out for me when I was doing things to help her out and others like her. Another God moment, another thin space. I have a diabetic neighbor who struggles with various health issues. Last Christmas, she got COVID, unknowingly brought home by a family member. She dropped by the other day when Terry and Caleb and I were out tidying up the garage to share news that her doctor wanted her to come in for a follow-up appointment for testing that had happened earlier this spring. She was worried about what he would tell her. She was apprehensive about the visit and feared the worst. We listened to her story and tried to help her focus on the positive. We reminded her, as we all need reminding, that worry is really wasted effort. and that she was strong enough to deal with the outcome no matter what it would be. We encouraged her to pray about it. She left feeling better for talking to us that afternoon. She went home lighter. Our words, or just words, gave her hope. And when the phone rang the next day, my neighbor joyously shared the news that her post-COVID symptoms had all cleared up. The doctor's visit was a happy one. I prayed so hard, she told me over the phone, and my prayers were answered. Divine intervention? I say so. That was a God moment, a thin space. These are just some examples of God's moments in my life. I'm sure we could sit here all day sharing stories about things that were just more than just coincidental, but that were in fact God moments. We've all experienced them, but somehow they become more identifiable in a pandemic. They stand out amidst all the worry, all the frustration, all the struggle, and all the pain. So how does this tile tie into God, into today's gospel of cutting off hands and feet and other body parts to follow God? Is that what we should do? Well, we heard that someone who isn't part of Jesus' own circle is casting out demons in Jesus' name, and the disciples were stopped. Like Moses, though, Jesus refuses to see this as a threat. Jesus welcomes good being done in his name, even when it is not under his control. What does that mean? The circle we form around Jesus' word must be able to value good being done in ways we might not do it, by people we can't keep tabs on. Jesus also challenges us to take a similar look at ourselves. What parts of ourselves do we need to leave behind as we follow Christ? The body parts is just an example. Maybe it's our perfectionism or our need for control. Maybe it's our desire to escape through addictions or distractions. Maybe it's our harsh judgments about ourselves or others, or a broken image of ourselves. Maybe fear is what stops us from reaching out to those in need. I was scared that day at soup kitchen, that's for sure. Fear of failure, fear of criticism, fear of the unknown. Whatever our stumbling block is, Jesus calls us to leave it behind. Yet the gruesomeness of Jesus' examples, of his images in the gospel today, leaving behind body parts, suggests that he understands this isn't easy work. Often our most harmful patterns and behaviors are the hardest to leave behind, because in some way we brought them into our lives to protect us from what scared us the most, about ourselves, about the world around us. Today's gospel invites us to clarify what's most important to us while reminding us that, frankly, we have a lot of things that we could probably do without. And the pandemic has taught us what is most important: our health, our families, and our faith. All the other stuff is irrelevant. Jesus stands with us to give us courage to look at ourselves fully as we are. He looks at us not with judgment, but with love and grace. He invites us to find in him a new source of comfort and security, to let go of our old selves and cling to him and his cross. And when we take up this cross, Jesus will provide everything else that we need for the journey as his followers: strength, courage, endurance, patience, hope, and love. Today in this Christian assembly, this church family of ours, we walk through this journey together, encouraging one another with words of peace and love. We know that the road ahead won't be easy, but the God moments along the way tell us that he's right there beside us, encouraging us to be his hands and feet in this struggling world. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so. Amen.